that went on, and great. All right, so for the purpose of the recording, my name is Barry Adams. This is Wednesday, February the 6th, 2019, and this is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. And today, it's kind of an old favorite of mine, but I think I'm having a bit of a different, not perspective, but just a, it's just something that the Lord really encouraged me this last week. And the title of today's webcast is The Kingdom's Entry Level. And one of the things that over the years that I have kind of pondered, and my dear friend Mark, he knows, he's been probably the main listening ear, the sounding board for me, where I've just tried to, you know, just kind of figure out where I fit in this wonderful revelation of the Father's love. And, you know, I so value and honor and appreciate all my friends who are prophetic in this revelation, who are incredibly deep theologically in this revelation, who have just have really sown into me and built a foundation of love and just this, yeah, just even the theology of the Father's love. And so I honor all my friends who are heroes in my sight and champions. But you know, over the years, you know, when I have, you know, just tried to process me, my role in what is my voice in this revelation of the Father's love, I've always kind of, I personally revert back to the simplicity of being just a little boy with a big dad. You know, when, and I've shared it on the webcast in the past, where some of the struggles that I've had over the years in this, just trying to find my own place, is where I feel like if I'm trying to be something that I'm not, and, you know, so if I'm trying to teach something deeper than, you know, that I'm able to, or I'm not gifted in, if I'm not an apostle and I can't move in the apostolic, or if I'm not prophetic, I don't move necessarily in the prophetic. So over the years, I've just gonna pop up, like, you know, for me, all I've ever wanted was a dad, right? All I ever wanted is that God would father me and that I would be his son and I would be able to enjoy that. And, you know, sometimes I put, and it's mostly, you know, self-imposed, where I would put pressure on myself to think that I ought to, you know, perhaps go deeper than I do, right? And especially, you know, when you travel and you visit places, you know, over again two or three times, it's like sometimes I might feel like there's an expectation that you come up with something deeper or more profound, you know. And, you know, I find that I always just come back to the simplicity of being loved, simplicity of being little boys and little girls with a really big dad, and that he's our father, and that the more, as Jack Winner used to say, the smaller that we can become, the bigger that God can become in our lives. So the other day, or it was probably a couple of weeks ago now, I was reflecting on kind of where do I fit, Papa, you know, in this. I like, again, not feeling like I'm a theologian. Actually, the older I get, the more that I feel that I value simplicity. Things are getting more simple for me, not more complex. And so I go, okay, you know, what does that mean for me? So, you know, there's an expression that says that we soak in God's love, right? Where we, you know, maybe put on some worship music and we, you know, lie down and we soak, we marinate in God's presence and his love. Well, my best soaking place has been for the last few years, it's actually figuratively, but literally as well, is in our hot tub in our backyard. And so I was doing some of my best soaking. I was reflecting, talking to God and say, okay, Papa, where do I fit in this? I keep coming back to the simplicity of heart, the childlike heart, that the greatest in the kingdom are little kids, right? And he said something to me, which at first it sounded like, huh, okay, well, you know, it, I didn't know how to take it at first. I mean, it was loving. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, wow, that is actually pretty profound. And I felt like the Lord said to me, Barry, your ministry is entry level into the kingdom. Now, when we hear the words entry level, typically, at least when we talk about jobs, right? When we think of, okay, that's an entry level position. That means it's a junior position. That means it's probably the least pay, the least experience, right? So when we think of entry level, oftentimes we, at least, you know, in a career kind of context, we actually think of something that is kind of the starting point, and it's kind of, you grow and you go away from that. But when I started to think about the kingdom of God and how Jesus actually invited us to experience his kingdom, then I started to realize that there is this word enter in a couple of really key passages that requires an entry into his kingdom. And of course, the kingdom that we're talking about is so big, so wide, so vast, so immeasurable. Just getting in the door is absolutely mind-blowing. So today, I just want to unpack what does it mean to be at the entry level of the kingdom of God in the sense of experiencing his wonders. And to do that, I'm going to, and I haven't used this on the webcast. I think I probably referred to it before. But if you see this, this is a comic book that I produced last year called 70 Kingdom Principles That Work for Little Kids. And so in this, I'm going to go through the slides for those who are online and who can see it. But what I've done is, in a very simplistic way, this last year, I put together 70 attributes of a childlike heart that are actually kingdom principles that it's really what we get in it's kind of the entry level package. So I really want to just, you know, this time, and I don't know how it's going to all work. I've got technology going all over the place here. But so I'm just going to, for those who are online, they can actually see these pages. But the first one that I want to talk about is like this, in this fundamental idea that the kingdom belongs to little children. And this actually comes from Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is blessing the little children. You know, the parents are coming to them, and his disciples are being the bodyguards, right? And starting at verse 15, it says they were also bringing their babies to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them, and Jesus summoned them, saying, "Allow the little children to come to me, and don't hinder them, for God's kingdom belongs to such as these. Most certainly I tell you, whoever doesn't receive God's kingdom like a little child, he will no way enter into it." And so it was this idea of the way that we actually enter the kingdom, to the portal in which we actually are able to experience the immeasurable kingdom of our God and our Father, where Jesus is the King. It's our Father's kingdom. It is through the heart of a little child, right? It's humbling ourselves. It's changing and becoming childlike. Now, you know, when we, from an evangelical perspective, you know, we would have an idea. Jesus said, except you be born again, that you won't see the kingdom, right? So we have this fundamental idea, and I totally agree with it, that that for us to all enter into the kingdom, we all enter in through the spiritual rebirth, where God becomes our Father. But the one thing that I think where we maybe need to readjust our perceptions is, because of the adult mindset, because of the orphan world system, you know, we can have this mindset that we enter into the kingdom as a baby, but then as soon as we enter this kingdom as a baby, as a new Christian, we are meant to grow up real quick again. Then we take the weight of the world on our shoulders again. We start, you know, just feeling like it's all about us again. It's about, you know, it's about our performance and our ability to manage life and our ability to work and our disciplines and all these other things. But God never said that when we are born into the kingdom that we are actually meant to just all of a sudden grow up again and become adult. actually, the very clear thing is that Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom is actually the one with a childlike heart. And that's principle number two in this book, that this comic book that I wrote, and it's Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, where it says, in that hour, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to himself and set him in the middle of them and said, most certainly I tell you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here we go. We have this word again, that we have this entrance into the kingdom. It's the actual place of the entry level where you and I are able to actually experience all of the kingdom greatness. And the thing is when Jesus was talking to his disciples, like he was talking to adults, right? And so they want to know who the greatest is. And he said, if you want to be great, observe a little child, and then become like them. And the word become there, when Jesus said, unless you repent, unless you change, it's actually, that word is meant as a going in the opposite direction. So like if we are thinking of, in the sense that, you know, the adult mindset and the adult power and the adult authority and the adult capabilities, Jesus is saying, if you want to enter in the kingdom, if you really want to see all the glory and all the joy of it, then the way to do it is to humble yourself, to change and become like a little child. So for me, I really believe that, you know, when God said to me, Barry, you've got an entry level ministry, I just think, you know what, instead of thinking, oh my gosh, that's kind of a junior level in the kingdom, I'm going like, this is the kingdom. This is the doorway into the immeasurable vastness of everything that our God and our Father has freely given us in Jesus. But it is through this place, this portal of changing and becoming like a little child. I find it interesting in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, Jesus is praying to his Father, right? And this is principle number three in my comic book. And it says, he says, at that time, Jesus answered, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in your sight. And again, this is just one of these very, very foundational scriptures, not my words, they're the words of Jesus himself, that he says that the Father actually hides the kingdom mysteries from the wise and the prudent, but he is delighted to reveal his kingdom to little babies. And this is, in this particular, the World English Bible says infants. And the actual Greek word is untaught, unskilled babies. And I'm not sure who it was who actually made a quote, but I remember hearing it in reference to this passage. And he says, it's amazing how often we spend our entire life trying to be wise and learned, wise and prudent, when God says that he hides the things of the kingdom from the wise and learned and reveals them to little children. So again, we are talking entry level. This is, I believe, Kingdom 101, that it's the kingdom is revealed to little children. Little children are the greatest. And the Father actually delights to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to little kids. And I find number four, the principle number four in this comic book is little kids offer up perfect praise. And I find it interesting in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus says, yes, did you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing babes, you have perfected praise. Now, think about this for a minute. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking about babies and nursing babies and how God has perfected praise in these little ones. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, and of course I love a worship conference and just, you know, singing and all the skill and all the wonderful things that we can do together. But what if, and I'm just asking the question, entry level in the kingdom, that when God looks at little babies, he goes, oh, That's praise perfected. That is the most amazing thing. And that actually touches a part of his heart that we think that, you know, our adult skill and our adult ability and everything else moves him more than a little baby who maybe sighs. You know, Ann and I just, as you guys know, just had our third grandchild 3 weeks ago, and our first grandson, Levi. And last night we were over at our daughter's house just to help her a little bit. And I'll tell you, you know, I am holding my grandson, 3-week-old grandson, in my arms, and I'm looking into his eyes, because now he's getting a little older, so he's becoming more aware, and he's looking in my eyes. And I'm telling you, I just get absolutely lost in the beauty and the innocence that I see in him. So I really believe that when the Father sees the little boy in you and the little girl in me, when we are able to change and turn, repent, and become like little kids again, I really believe there's this beautiful expression even of worship that that God finds absolutely compelling. So, and number five, and principle number five, is little kids are love sponges in my book. And the one of the things that with little kids is they're very, very comfortable with love. 1 John 4:16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." You see, I really believe that the more that we are able to change, to turn and become little again, the more that we will learn the language of love, the more that we will be able to live in love, knowing that the Christian life is not about performance, it's not about success, it's not about achievement, it's about learning to be comfortable with love. And little kids, I'll tell you, they got it hands down. They know exactly how to do this intuitively. No little baby's gone to love school. You know, they come out of their, the first day of their birth, they are just, they're comfortable with love. They need hugs. They need affection. They need to be held. And I really believe that if we begin to see entry level, you know, this is 101 kingdom stuff, right? But, you know, how many adults struggle being comfortable with love? How many adults struggle feeling like they're safe and secure in the embrace of God? You know, and we spend our lives trying to compensate for the lack of love that we have with a religious striving. And I just believe Papa just says, come, just return to that place of simplicity, and you know, we'll discover things that will blow our minds. Number six in the book is, little kids are born with trusting hearts. You know, little kids are it's wired right into their DNA that they trust. King David said, "I learned to trust at my mother's breast." And Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." One of the biggest struggles that adults have is the ability to trust. When we were little boys and little girls, God actually gave us the gift of trust. We trusted our parents. We had big trusting hearts, and it was our parents that began to violate that trust. It was an orphan world system. It was friends. It was an educational system. It was a workplace system. It was relationships that started to kind of whittle away our ability to trust. And the Father wants us to return to a simple trusting heart, just like a little kid. Little kids are born with trusting hearts, and I truly believe that there's still a little boy, a little girl in each one of us. And if we can see the entry-level value in the kingdom of trust, see, I truly believe that Jesus said in John 14, "Trust in God, trust also in me." You see, when we trust God, I believe in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our trials and tribulations here on earth, it touches his heart like nothing else can. And oftentimes, we lose that ability to trust. And I believe even today, the Father wants to restore childlike trust in your life and in my life. Another attribute of little kids, principle number seven, is little kids just believe what they're told. You know, little kids carry this beautiful humility where they know that they aren't, they're not strong, they're not capable. So they absolutely, they just believe. They just believe. You tell them that the sky is pink, they just believe it's pink, because there is just there's this ability that they know that their parents know better than them. And so they have this loving, trusting heart. In Mark 11:23, Jesus says, for most certainly I tell you, whoever may tell this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what is happening, he shall have whatever he says. And I just believe that, you know, when we start to get older, we become cynical because we've been hurt and we've people have broken trust and we begin to be very guarded in our heart. But I believe the Father wants us to be able to return to the place of childlike faith, childlike believing, where we just, when Jesus says, greater works you're going to do because I'm going to the Father, that our response will be, yay, rather than, well, you know, but you don't know this about my life and I'm not qualified and I haven't gone to school and all these other things. I truly believe that there's a beautiful simplicity of just simply believing what you're told, and then that God will be able to do more for us and through us by just us going, yay, rather than us trying to manage it and trying to navigate life. You know, one of the things about little kids is that they need to be protected. When we start to grow up, we start to develop mechanisms in self-protection, and we start to build walls around our hearts, and we start trying to manage things. The truth of the matter is that we are little, we are helpless. That's the truth. And I truly believe that the Father wants us to return to a place in our heart where we know that He is our safe haven. It says in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And again, here's that word trust again. If we trust God that He is a Father who will protect us, then we can lay down our own defenses and allow God, His fortress, to be our protection. Little kids just know that intuitively they have no choice because they can't protect themselves. They're helpless without the protection of their parents. Principle number 9, little kids live by their hearts. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And Psalm 37 verse 4 says, also delight yourself in Yahweh, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, little kids, they learn to navigate life through their intellect, through their mind. But when they're little, they live from their heart. They are intuitive, and they just are just, they don't have to think, okay, what should I do? They just do. And I truly believe that the more that we realize that God has given us a new heart, you know, the old wretched heart, the heart that's exceedingly wicked, the Jeremiah reference to that heart is an old covenant paradigm. That's the old unredeemed heart. But the new heart that God has given you and I, we can trust. And He actually guides us through the desires of our hearts. You know, so many times when Ann and I have prayed for people over the years, and we just ask them, so what do you want to do? And many people have just looked at us and just said, you know, I've never given myself permission to ask that question. I don't know what's in my heart because I've spent my entire life trying to accomplish things, trying to do what people tell me to do, trying to anticipate what I should do. I really believe the more that, again, it's entry level in the kingdom, but the more that we know we're loved, that we have been given a heart, that it's a brand new heart, that God lives in us and He directs us by the desires of our heart, the more freedom that you and I will experience just to start to live from our heart. Principle number 10, little kids need simplicity. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul writes this, but I'm afraid that somehow as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, in Christ is the tree of life. Outside of Christ is the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, where we try to manage life, we try to understand it, we try to create religious systems in order to appease God in a way because we're trying to figure everything out. But you see, little kids just need simplicity. They are by definition simple in their heart. They can't manage complex things. And I just believe there's a beautiful simplicity that God wants to restore to us, and that that our minds wouldn't be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yay. You know, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me and Jesus is in the Father. So the Father's in me and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Son. And I've been given the Spirit of the Son. And yay, I'm in. I don't have to manage life. I don't have to figure it out. I just need to abide in the presence and the abiding love of God that is in me. And little kids just live this way. But I see, I really believe that like Jesus made the complex incredibly simple, but the Pharisees made the simple incredibly complex. And I just believe that the more that we can change and become little kids again, this is just another principle that just brings absolute joy. Because, you know, it is so tiring to try to live out of our intellect, live out of our mind, live out of our the ability of what does God require of me, rather than living from a heart in a simple way where Jesus, you know, Christ is the hope of glory for you and I. Principle number 11. This is one that I see with our newborn grandson. Little newborns sleep a lot. They just sleep, you know, most of the time. They wake up to feed and then to get changed and then they go back to sleep again. Little kids know how to rest. And Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 says this, "There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his own works, as God did from his." The most amazing thing is the more that we know we're loved, the more that we know that we have nothing to prove, the more that we are convinced that God has done everything for us through the work of his son Jesus, the more that it will set our heart at rest, that we'll cease from our own works, that as Psalm 46:10 says, we can be still and know that God is really God. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, like so many of us are struggling to find rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Little kids can sleep. You know, they can go 100 miles an hour, but when it's time to sleep, they just go off into a rest. Because you see, the part of the problem for us is if our productivity is connected to our value, then we're going to have a hard time resting. Because when you're resting, you're not producing. And if you're not producing, how valuable are you? But see, little kids don't have a problem with that. They are just absolutely able to rest. Principle number 12, little kids are dependent. And you know, honestly, in the world system, in the orphan world system that we live in, you know, it's understandable that we can have this idea that maturity equals independence. You know, we're self-sufficient, we're independent, we're our own self-made people. You know, we're successful and we don't need anybody to help us. But in the kingdom, it's opposite. The more mature that you and I become, the more dependent we become. And if you don't believe me, then all we have to do is look at the words of Jesus himself. In John 5, 19 and 20, he says this, "Jesus therefore answered them, most certainly I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, for whatever things he does, these the Son also does likewise. For the Father has affection for the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. He will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." You see, true kingdom maturity is complete dependence. It's not independence. There is never a time where we say, okay, we know the ways of God, so we don't need to be connected and dependent upon God. We can assume his ways. No, Jesus said that the Son can do nothing of himself. And in John 15, he said to his own disciples, "I'm the vine, you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And little kids, they just live this way because they have to, because they're absolutely helpless. And I just believe there's something in the heart of the Father that is absolutely exploding when he sees our dependence upon him and he works on behalf of those who wait for him. Principle number 13, little kids have a great imagination. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, Paul writes, "But as it is written, things which an eye didn't see and an ear didn't hear, which didn't enter into the heart of man, these God has prepared for those who love him. But to us, God revealed them through the Spirit." You see, little children have this amazing ability to dream of damsels in distress in faraway lands and rocket ships. They have absolutely no grid for limitation. Whatever they can imagine is what they can actually go and begin to enjoy and explore and dream. But when we start to get older, we begin to lose the ability to dream impossible dreams again. And I just believe the Father, in that entry level place of coming into his kingdom as a little child, that God wants to restore our ability to dream and to have imagination. As he said, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard or even entered into the heart of man. But God has revealed these things to us. He's prepared them for those who love him. And I just believe that if we are able to see and ask God to say, Father, I just reveal, just restore to me that childlike simplicity, childlike imagination. I think we might be surprised what he does. Principle number 14, little kids are happy to be carried. I love this passage of scripture from Isaiah 46. God is speaking to Israel. In verse 3 and 4, he says these words, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." You see, we don't know if Israel was aware that they were being carried all their life. But from God's perspective, he was carrying them even from the moment they were born. He was rescuing them. He was holding them in his arms. And the truth is, little kids are happy to be carried because they can't, you know, especially babies, they can't get around on their own. The truth is that God is, he's carrying you and I, whether we realize it or not. But the more that we can just, you know, just have the perspective of a little child again, the more that we will see that every day of every moment of our life, God is carrying us. And, you know, it's when we're sitting on his shoulders that we can have a vision that we could never possibly see when we're trying to manage life on our own. Principle number 15, little kids are weak. You know, there's no question about that. They're not strong. They can't pick up things. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul actually says these words. He says, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, when we're weak, that is when we're strong. Little kids are, when they're weak, when they are at that place of being weak, they have all of the strength of their parents to carry them, to fight for them, to provide for them, because they are helpless. And I believe it's the same way for us, that when we actually come to grips with the principle of weakness, that, you know, as adults, as in an orphan world system, you know, strength is celebrated, the weak are actually abused and looked down upon. But in the kingdom of God, that when we're weak, we actually have the strength of our big brother Jesus. So again, you know, oftentimes we try to hide our weaknesses in our everyday life with each other. What, you know, what if we were learning, like Paul said later on, he said, I will glory in my weaknesses. I won't hide them. I won't be trying to have some kind of false persona. See, little kids, they don't try. They just are who they are. Principle number 16, little kids look like their parents. Genesis 1:27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In God's image, he created him, male and female, he created them." You see, when we begin to realize that we look like our Father, we were created in the image of God, and that we resemble him. And then when the penny starts to drop, that little kids, you know, resemble their parents. And you can often tell a little child by seeing their parents and saying, okay, obviously they go together because they look alike. God created you in his own image, that he created your personality. He created you to reflect a part of his nature that no one on planet Earth has ever reflected. And I truly believe the more that you and I are able to see this simple, basic understanding that we look like our dad, because we have been conformed into the image of the Son whom he loves, and that is Jesus. And that we can begin to know that we are not alone, that we are not orphans, we are not slaves, but we are sons and daughters to Yahweh, and that He created us to reflect His unique nature. Principle number 17 is that little kids are teachable. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul writes these words, he goes, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." You see, when we have humble, teachable hearts, when we are in a place where we're just absolutely open to the teaching that God wants to give us, you know, He'll teach us how to love one another. But if we think that we're independent and we're self-sufficient and pride rises up and you say, we don't need to be taught, we can figure it out, tree of knowledge of good and evil, we can manage life, then what happens is then that blocks God's flowing and saying He's going to teach us. You know, little kids, they're so open and they're so hungry to learn, because they know they have a humility that basically says, you know what, I don't know much. You know, how do I eat? How do I, you know, play with toys? I need help. Would somebody help me? And I just believe that the more that we could have that humble, teachable heart towards God, that we would actually see Him teach us things that would just absolutely blow our mind. Little kids don't have a problem with this. Number 18, little kids love lullabies. And, you know, of course, for anybody who has children or grandchildren, you know that oftentimes when you put them to bed at night, that you sing over them, right? And they just love to hear those songs. And the truth of the matter is that God Himself sings over us. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "Yahweh your God is among you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." You see, I truly believe that the Father, like even in this moment, if we just say, "Father, would you just help us to hear you singing over us?" That I truly believe that we could just awaken something in us, just like little kids just love lullabies and love to be sung to. That, you know, Jesus said in Revelation, "To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." And that when we begin to realize that our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, He's rejoicing over us with singing, and He will quiet us with His love. And see, little kids, they don't have a problem with this. They go, "Yeah, Daddy, will you sing to me some more? Mommy, will you sing to me more? I love to be sung to." The Father loves to sing to you as well. Principle number 19, little kids are defenseless. Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." See, the truth is that you don't have to fight for yourself, because you have a really big dad who fights for you. But it's an interesting scripture here. It says, "You only need to be still." And other passages say, "You only need to be at peace." And when we learn to be at peace, and then that we don't try to fight for ourselves, that we can see God fight for us and do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves in 1,000 lifetimes. Little kids are happy to be led. The principle number 20, Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God." You see, for us to be led by the Spirit, we have to be in a posture of waiting to be led. Because little kids carry a humility that they can't lead themselves. They're happy to hold on to a parent's hand and allow themselves to be led. When we get older, we get self-sufficient and independent. We want to lead ourselves. And that's where we get into trouble. See, the more that we can be able to be at peace and have rest and be able to be still and to trust God, the more that we will be able to trust His leading. And so when the Holy Spirit's not leading, then we don't go. We wait for Him to lead us. And when we begin to have more and more of that posture of being led, the more that we will actually see the tangible benefits of the Holy Spirit leading us. And I truly believe that's one of the signs of sonship. Principle number 21, little kids are content. And this is just, again, last night, our daughter fed our grandson, and then he was fully nursed. He had as much milk as he could handle, and he was just out cold. In Psalm 131, 1 to 2, King David writes these words: "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." You see, I believe the Father wants in His love to cause a contentment to come to the very core of our being. Like we are just so stuffed full of His provision, stuffed full of His milk, that we can just go, I just want to come into a place of absolute rest, absolute joy, absolute peace and contentment. And this is King David. This is a king. And see, this is how God wants His kings to rule their kingdoms. So each and every one of us are entrusted to a kingdom, you know, the area of influence that we have. And this is the way we're to rule it, is like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is our soul within me. Principle number 22, little kids love to receive gifts. You know, if Christmas was every day, if birthdays were every day, you know, little kids would be going, yay, because they don't have a problem receiving. You see, when we become adults and we receive gifts, it humbles us, because whether it's, you know, it's undeserved or there's strings attached to the gift, you know, we can get really kind of weird about all that stuff, and it makes it difficult for us to receive. But little kids, they just have absolutely no problem receiving gifts. James 1:17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, no turning of shadows." You see, the more that we begin to understand that God is a Father, He gives good gifts to His children. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened." You have a good dad. If you give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? You see, when we become adults and we become just really, really focused on our own ability to manage life, then this ability to receive gifts, oftentimes we struggle and we don't even see that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Little kids, they have no problem. You want to buy them a chocolate ice cream cone, they're not going to have a problem with it. But as they get older, we're taught, no, you're not supposed to do that. And, you know, you're supposed to say no and all these things. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, when we cannot receive anymore. And the Father wants to give us the ability just to receive again. Little kids are unique. Romans 12:4-5, Paul writes, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." You see, little kids don't struggle with a sense of inadequacy and all those other things, because they, you know, when they're secure, when they're loved, they are who they are. They're not trying to be somebody else. They are just themselves. And I just believe, while that seems to be something that should be common sense, I truly believe that many of us absolutely struggle with that. And I'm just going to, this is just principle number 24, and there's 70 of these principles in this comic book, which you're free to download from abbaskids.com. You can download it as an ebook. You can download the every page individually. But the last one that I want to talk about, and then I just want to pray, is principle number 24, which is little kids are wonderfully made. Psalm 139:13-14, King David writes this. He says, "For you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. My soul knows that very well." So many people have felt like they're not wonderfully made, that somehow there's imperfections in them. Maybe their parents didn't want them or didn't plan them, or maybe they feel they're too short or too tall, or, you know, they're not happy with their body. I really believe that little kids, you know, when they were knit together in their mother's womb, the Father knit us together, that He said, this is an amazing work of art. And I truly pray that you and I would return to this place of, when we look in the mirror, that we don't look at the pimple or we don't look at the imperfection, but like little kids, that we could just begin to accept who God created us to be and be able to live in that place of learning to live in His love and His affection. So I just want to pray I'm going to put the music on now, and I just want to pray that when we think of entry level, when we think of, okay, well, these are the foundational, you know, early things. This is the first 3 months of my Christian life, but I move away from that. I've gone to the deeper things of God. In these 24 principles, these attributes of a child, is there anything in these that say, wow, you know, I'd like to experience that again. I want to be at peace. I want to rest. I want to trust God. I want to believe again. I want to have the simplicity of heart to believe. I truly believe that we can all experience the glory of what it means to be little boys and little girls with a really big dad, because Jesus secured that on a cross for us 2,000 years ago. So, Father, I just pray for every son and every daughter that is watching this webcast. I pray, Father, that you would help us all to change, to return, to become little children again. Father, not childish, but childlike, that we could embrace the heart of a little child, knowing that Almighty God, the everlasting Father, is our dad. Father, would you just come by the power of your Spirit, and would you open our hearts up again to love? Would you just remind us that we are just little in your sight, that you've been carrying us all the days of our life. You are our provider. You are our protector. And you are our encourager. And Father, I pray that when we see the entry level to the kingdom of God, that we wouldn't, in a sense, look down on it or think that it's too simple or it's not complicated enough or it's not deep enough. Father, the entry into the kingdom of God, there is nothing greater than coming into the kingdom that is immeasurable with Almighty God as our Abba. So, Father, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that the Abba cry would come. Wow. The Abba cry, that you really are our Papa. I don't have to be self-sufficient. I don't have to be independent. I can just be little because I have a really big dad. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bearing witness with our spirit that we are your children, children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Would you just show us the pathway to simplicity? Show us the pathway to worship and praise like a child. Show us the pathway to rest and peace. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray these things. Amen. Mm-hmm.